Welcome to the Creating Us podcast, hosted by the Office of Leader and Culture Development. My name is Jason, and I'm excited to be with you as we continue our journey through the simple truths of leadership. All right, here we go. It is week 8, but I'm going to be covering week 7 and 8 because I did not get week 7 done last week. But that's okay. That's okay, because as we know, all 52 of these simple truths, they work so well together. 7 and 8 are no exception. Our focus for this week, when we talk about simple truths number 7 and number 8, are really about the connections that we make. And I've been using this phrasing actually quite a bit recently. We did a webinar and we've been exploring Daniel Coyle's book, The Culture Code, where he argues that really it's the connections that we can make with individuals, whether it's a team, it's a group, whatever it may be, but it's the connections that we make with people that truly make an impact. Our lessons today, Simple Truth 7 and Simple 8, are exactly that. I'm going to take the liberty here and I'm going to do these backward, because I think Simple Truth number 8 leads us into Simple Truth number 7. So let me give you the two, and then that will explain why I'm combining, but yet doing them backwards. So Simple Truth number 7, and this is coming off of number 6, where we talked about praising progress. Number 7 is, when people are off track, don't reprimand them, redirect them. And Simple Truth number 8 is, the best minute servant leaders spend is the one they invest in people. So that is my reasoning. And I hope the simple truths in themselves explain why I'm doing this 8 and then number 7. Because it's important for us to understand that as leaders, and again, we are all leaders, we all hold that position when we're working with others, whether it's in the community, in our roles, whatever it may be, we have to remember that any time we give, that we invest into somebody else, is well worth it. It's important to remember that when we're talking about these simple truths and a leadership, it's not about you, but it's all about you. Again, it's not about you, but it's all about you. Within that statement is a balance of ego, of humility, etc. When we're interacting with people in the workplace, and let's say we are given the responsibility of laying the vision, how do we know that we've been clear, concise, and that our team members have understood us? We may have received a, that makes sense. I'm good. Yeah, we can, let's keep moving forward. But the reality is, we don't always know. And so instead of, when we observe behavior that may not be in alignment with what we were hoping with, instead of just coming down on somebody, spend a minute with them, redirect them. So let's look at simple truth number 8 in this lesson. Many managers don't understand that leadership is not about them. It's about the people they are trying to influence. These kinds of managers don't take the time, even a few minutes a day, to connect with their people. But servant leaders understand that the better they know their team members, the better they will be able to help them achieve their goals. I really like pairing this with what Daniel Coyle tells us in his book, The Culture Code. And again, the focus that he takes is, it's about the connection. So often at work, we talk about, you know, building team relationships. I say all the time, you don't have to like the people you work with, right? We must treat them with respect and professionalism. Well, that also comes with an understanding that I'm looking at it through a business lens. What Daniel Coyle, and what I would offer, Randy Connolly and Ken Blanchard are offering, is that let's break this down and look at them as individuals. This is about getting to know the people that we get to spend time with. And so back to our title, the best minute that we can spend is the one that we invest in people. when we spend time, back to our lesson, when we spend time with those around us, those that we influence, this is how we build those meaningful connections. It's the best investment you'll ever make. You know, this can be very simple. It doesn't have to be a lot. I worry that when we talk about relationships in the workplace and we talk about building effective, relationships, for lack of a better term, we put a lot on it. We tend to think that, oh, I've got to know their background. I've got to know their family. I've got to know this. I've got to know that. What if we backed it up a little bit? Let's break it down. And what if we focused on the connections, meaning that when you and I are engaged in a conversation, whatever it may be, I'm going to intently listen to you. I am going to be present. I'm going to ensure that my body language is there. I'm going to overuse thank yous. Listen, I want to thank you for bringing your opinion. I want to thank you for bringing these thoughts. Listen, I know you disagree with the route I want to go, and I want to thank you for saying that. We can validate people, build connections without having to do all that other stuff. Now, that's a dangerous sentence, and I know a lot of people may go, whoa, 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 that's important. It is. But let's break this down. If we are worried or hesitant or resistant to want to build relationships in the workplace, I want you to think about how do you define that? What does that look like? And I would offer, why don't we break it down to the connection? Take them moment by moment. I recently received some advice from a mentor of mine, and we were talking about how he does what he does. And as we were talking about it and talking about some shared experiences, I'm being very vague here, but what I realized and what he was able to confirm for me is that it's about shared experience. When we talk about building relationships, it's about sharing experience. So it's building those connections in that moment. I would encourage you then to think about, all right, those people that I work with, how do I share experiences with them? Maybe it's a meeting where there's a change coming down and emotions are high, and you're the neutral party, or one of your team members is there to help you process this and understand it. Maybe there's a difficult patient, a difficult student, a difficult customer that we're working with. It is in those experiences where we can get feedback, et cetera, where we can have these connections. That is how we build these relationships. Let's not make it bigger than it needs to be. So, again, the best minute servant leaders spend is the one they invest in people. So where do we go with this? How do we put this into practice? Well, Connolly and Blanchard give us this. First, I want you to reflect as a leader. Do you take time to casually chat with team members before starting a meeting? Or do you get right down to business without truly connecting? What's your reasoning for it? We all have intention behind our actions. And if you're saying, well, I don't know, this is just kind of what I do, I would ask you to please spend some time in reflection. Why do you do what you do? If you engage your peers through conversation, hey, how you been? How was your weekend? How's the family? What did you think of when you heard this or saw that? Why do you do that? There's a reason for that. So again, take some time to really think about this. The next time, and this is the second prompt, the next time you schedule a one-on-one meetings, or the next time you have with meetings, ask each individual or direct report to create the agenda for their meeting with you. They can talk about anything they want, a goal, a vacation, a problem that may be impacting their work, whatever. It's their time. So if you're meeting with your peers and you're saying, hey, I just want to check in, let them create it, right? Hey, I just want to kind of go from there. This is an opportunity for you to reflect, to write down. And the final prompt in this is write about three ways you can help people in your department feel more connected to you, then make it happen. You know, there's one other thing that I want to add before I jump back to simple truth number seven, which is when people are off track, don't reprimand them, redirect them. I was working with a team of leaders recently, and we were discussing all the change that they have going on. I don't know what it is, if this is like the season for change, but it doesn't matter where you are. We're just experiencing a lot of it. Good, I mean, it's all good. It's just there's just a lot of it, and it's been a hot topic for many. And we were talking about, all right, how do we help our team work through, this upcoming change? And they were saying, oh, well, we want to do a SWOT analysis. We want to be able to, get their concerns. We want to be able to do all of this stuff. And, as we were talking, an idea came to mind. And I'm sharing this because I think this fits with our simple truths for today. And I said, how about before you jump back into business, you take a second and you start with a blank canvas? Here's what I mean by that. We can become very routine with business, business, business. We've got to change. What's our strategy? What are our objectives? What are all those things? And we just go, 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 go. We have to remember, though, that it's the people that make these changes happen. So if we're not willing to take a couple minutes to check in with our people, and here's what I mean by that. Before we jump into the next strategy meeting, before we jump into the next problem-solving activity, I want you to bring your team together, either individually or as a team. I would recommend as a team. And when you get them there, just take a breath. Really, take a breath and ask them, how are you? There's been a lot of change going on. How are y'all processing it? What information don't you know that you want to know? Are there any barriers that are holding you back? Is anyone really frustrated with all this change? And what can we do to support each other through it? Take a minute to check in with your people. Give that blank slate, that opportunity to, again, take a breath and say, before we jump into this next one, how is everyone? What assumptions are we making, right? What are the perceptions that we have? Are we just like anti-change and we're like, we're not doing this anymore? Before we jump in and I start asking you to talk about our strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, threats, or whatever tool that you want to use, check in with your people. Make sure you're all right. Make sure you're good. Because if we don't take the time to check in and validate and call out the importance of the people around us, we're going to have a hard time keeping them around very long. And I mean, honestly, even if we do, we're allowing our frustrations to increase. We're allowing all these other dynamics that maybe they don't need to happen. So I would encourage you that when you're working through all of the change, all of this uncertainty, take a second for your team just to take a breath and check in. How are you? So as we talk about the best minute you can spend, maybe that's all it is. It doesn't have to be much. I'm not saying, plan a full day retreat off-site where you're providing meals and activities and all that. No. I'm just talking about, hey, everyone, let's just take a breath. How are you with all this change, right? Give people that ownership, that opportunity to express their thoughts. Because if you are just going to assume that, oh, everyone's good, this is what we do, that's risky. You're walking yourself into some problems here. So I would encourage you that as you're working through all of this uncertainty, this change, take a breath. Take a second just to check in with your team. So now let's dive into simple truth number seven. When people are off track, don't reprimand them, redirect them. So, from Blanchard and Conley in our lesson, setting goals and offering praise are ways you can help your people succeed. But what if their progress towards their goals is stalled for some reason? A redirection may be in order. This goes back to let's take a breath. Maybe someone is off track because they don't know where they're going. They don't even remember what these tracks were. What's our destination? So this is an opportunity for us to realign. Now, Blanchard and Conley give us this. Use these steps for an effective redirection. Contact the person as soon as you learn of poor performance or behavior. I'm going to redefine that. Contact the individual. Check in with individuals when you think, are we on the same page? Check that you've made their goal clear. Make sure that they understand it. Hey, let me ask you something. Do you know where we're going? I mean, do you know like what our outcome is? Are you clear on that? If not, let's clarify it. Let's seek to understand. Let's seek that clarity. Discuss the specific problem with them and tell them how you feel. Here's the deal. You know, I was under the impression we were going to, you know, this option. But what I've been seeing in your work is that we're going over here. What's going on? Is there anything that I can provide additional information for? But tell me more about that. Don't just automatically jump to reprimand. Hey, you're not doing what we said you should be doing, so I'm going to write you up for that. I'm sorry, that's petty. Come on, have a conversation. I mean, really, let's just have a conversation with them. Let them know that you still value them as a contributor. I mean, seriously, how many of you make a mistake? I don't even need to be in person for a show of hands. All of us do. And what would you want if you were off track or if you made a mistake? Would you want to be reprimanded right out of the gate? I don't think so. I think you'd want to be able to engage in dialogue, have a conversation. Hey, this is how I understand it. If I'm wrong, tell me. The majority of people, and there are many quotes out there and sayings, 98% of people want to do well. We don't come to work saying, ooh, let's mess things up. See how I didn't say 100%? So let's consider a leader's role in redirecting poor performance or behavior. Write about how negative feedback might become positive experience. So if you were to receive this, how could it become a positive experience? If a person doesn't understand a goal, why should their manager be held accountable? How do we bring that alignment back? I don't know if it's an uncertainty, an unawareness. I'm not sure what it is, but if we're off track, why do we hesitate to bring that up? And I'm guilty of it. I will be the first one right out front saying there have been many times where I should have stopped and sought clarity, but I didn't for a wide variety of reasons. But when we talk about building these relationships, praising people when they do something right, and again, I want to loop in Dan Coyle's book, The Culture Code, when we're talking about connections, what an amazing opportunity as a leader or somebody who someone comes to be able to say, thank you for bringing this up. I thought we were all on the same page, but thank you for bringing that up. What a way to praise that progress and to be able to help redirect them. The last thing that Blanchard and Conley give us here is as fast as change happens in the world, people are almost always in a learning mode. Why is this a good reason for redirecting rather than reprimanding? So here's our try this, and I want to leave you then with one statement. Our try it this week is this. Write about how you might redirect someone on your team who is off track. What would you say to help them do better in the future? Now, remember, even if you're listening to this and saying, but I don't lead people, how can you support those around you? I'm going to just naturally bring in servant leadership. Do those served or do those influenced, do those led, do those interacted, call it whatever you want, grow as persons? Now, this is the best test that Robert Greenleaf gives us. You know, do individuals become healthier, wiser, freer, more autonomous, more likely themselves to become servants? You know, this is that opportunity for us to really leverage influence. All right. I'm going to leave you with one last thing. And this came from a friend of mine. Her name is Shannon Butcher. Years ago, we were doing a training together. And as she was leading it, it was a training on change. She had made a statement that has stuck with me for the last 10 years. And it's simply this: for those of us who may struggle or stress around change, remember the things that you know as normal, stable today were at one time a change. We all have an opportunity to learn and to reflect and to become self-aware as to how we work through change. Our lessons today indicate that when we are off track, the best thing that we can do is redirect and guide. And then lesson number eight is the best minute you can spend is that with another person. So how can you make those investments this week? I would love to hear your feedback. And I want to thank you for listening to this episode of the Creating Us podcast. If you have any comments or questions, please let me know at jason.weber@ttu.edu. Until next time, take care.